Hello, my name is Elise St. Clair, and you are listening to KRNU 2 straight out of Lincoln, Nebraska. Welcome to my live show, Unearthed, where I try to simplify environmental news for the average person. For anyone new here, I'm a journalism student at the University of Nebraska, and I host this show every Saturday morning to teach people about the environment without the stress that often accompanies traditional environmental news. If you are interested in learning more about me, I explain my background in greater depth in my very first episode, so you can go back and listen to that on the KRNU website or anywhere else you listen to podcasts, because I've uploaded my show to just about every podcast streaming platform that I know of. But I should warn you that my uploaded episodes are just recordings of my live show, so they're not like a traditional podcast. There's no editing or re-recording. It's just raw audio from my live show. I'm happy you've decided to take some time out of your day to listen to me talk about the environment today. On the agenda, we've got a positive story focused on a recent Supreme Court decision in India, and we're going to spend some time diving into what rights of nature are and whether or not nature should have rights. So for today's positive news story, I'm going to be talking about how India's Supreme Court extended the right to life designation in its constitution to include protection against negative effects of climate change on March 21st. What does this mean? Well, essentially, India's Supreme Court ruled that because the country's constitution enshrines people's rights to health and equality, people have a right to legal protection in cases involving adverse effects of climate change. In Shweta Sharma's article in The Independent titled India's Top Court Expands Right to Life to Include Adverse Effects of Climate Change in Landmark Ruling, she explains that climate change threatens the right to life guaranteed to Indian citizens. Drought, food security, air pollution, and water pollution are just some examples of ways climate change affects the health of individuals. The judges made compelling arguments that since Article 21 of the Constitution ensures a right to health, it therefore also guarantees citizens the right to live in a clean environment, because natural disasters caused by climate change are a very real threat to human health. So what made them come to this decision? Interestingly enough, the ruling came up during a hearing about the protection of birds, more specifically, the great Indian bustard and the lesser florican. If this wasn't a radio show, I would show you pictures of these birds, but since I can't, I'm going to describe them for you. So close your eyes and paint a picture. Imagine the heaviest bird you can that can still fly. It's about 3 feet tall, has a brown body and brown wings, and a long white neck that kind of resembles a turkey's. In flight, it looks like it might fall out of the sky as its body is weighing it down. If that didn't help, my boyfriend's description of a vulture but cute might be more helpful. This is the great Indian bustard. The lesser florican is another species of bustard, but it's essentially the opposite in appearance. It's a tiny brown and black bird with plumage sticking out of the back of its head. The males are known for their breeding displays where they leap surprisingly high into the air and bend their necks backwards. Looking at pictures of these little birds leaping through the air sent me into a fit of laughter the other day, so that tells you all you need to know about that. Back to my point, the ruling that right to life guarantees the right to a clean environment came about during a petition hearing to protect these incredibly endangered bird species. Both of these bustard species are suffering from habitat loss because of the construction of power lines. The three judges overseeing the hearing decided that individuals have a right to be free from the harmful effects of climate change, and this decision is monumental. It means that in the future, more climate cases will make their way to India's highest court, influencing change on the grounds that the effects of climate change cause harm to people, and it is the government's responsibility to proactively protect its people from these effects. In this instance, the court's decision worked in favor of nature. The court wants the government to form a special committee to determine how India can balance the needs of these two endangered bustard species while creating more infrastructure for renewable energy. There are concerns that this ruling will cause problems for the environment in the future because it is centered around the environment's relationship to human health, which means that courts may decide to protect the environment more in the future, but only in instances where helping the environment benefits people in some way. It's unfortunate that environmental change seems possible only when there is a threat to human health. But this legislation is a start, and I think it's a start worth celebrating. I always like throwing in news stories about other places in the world because I think it's important to remember that environmentalism is a worldwide movement, and that even if we aren't seeing as much progress as we might like to see in our own states or our own country, there is positive change happening in other places that we can learn from and be excited about. So we just talked a little bit about a time when an environmental decision was made on the basis of human health. But what would be the alternative? What other reason could there be to pass environmental legislation? Enter rights of nature. Rights of nature is essentially the idea that the environment deserves to flourish simply for existing. Its worth is not associated with human needs or interests. Often, nature is viewed as property to be dealt with however humans see fit. Rights of nature is the opposing viewpoint of this idea, instead preaching that nature deserves basic rights to not only exist, but thrive and grow. Rights of nature is grounded in the perspective that humans share the earth with nature, and it has just as much of a right to live and thrive as humans do. So we should respect that right by giving nature rights. So what does this look like? To a large extent, giving nature rights means offering non-human entities legal standing. Just as a person can defend themselves in court, some believe that nature should be represented in court concerning its well-being. This doesn't mean personifying nature, but rather considering the natural arguments in a judicial decision alongside human arguments. Nature can't defend itself, but considering how our laws might affect the environment's ability to thrive is a way we can give nature a voice that isn't codependent on the health of humans. Currently, environmental legislation passes when an environmental issue hurts people. From a rights of nature perspective, we should be able to pass environmental legislation for the sole benefit of nature and its right to flourish. This idea isn't new. In places all around the world, nature has been granted rights. The first example of this is in the United States was in September of 2006, when, according to the Global Atlas of Environmental Justice, a borough of 7,000 people in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania, granted personhood to the ecosystems in the region after the dumping of toxic sludge in the area led to contaminated water and the deaths of two teenage boys. The Tamaqua Borough Sewage Sludge Ordinance was founded on the idea that nature's rights can be protected by people who live in the area. A person can act as a legal guardian of a damaged ecosystem for legal purposes and use any money they receive in the judicial process in damages to restore the ecosystem in question. Similarly, in 2013, New Zealand gave the Te Uruwera National Park legal personhood. According to the Earth Law Center, this meant the New Zealand government relinquished its control over the national park and established a board of people to act as guardians over the park. This board is responsible for protecting the interests of Te Uruwera as an entity with intrinsic value, and all decisions made regarding the land must be in the best interest of the land's ecological systems and inhabitants. And the list goes on. I learned in my individual and cultural perspectives on the environment course that Ecuador's constitution recognizes rights of nature, and Carutaba, Costa Rica, gave citizenship to pollinators. There's even a current effort in the United States to give rights of nature to the Mississippi River. Rights of nature is a relevant and ongoing debate, and yet it isn't well known. So what do you think? Does nature deserve rights, and to what degree? From my perspective, I think the argument that if corporations can be given personhood for legal reasons, why can't nature? I believe nature has just as much of a right to thrive as humans do, even if it can't defend itself. We can be advocates for the environment, and I think to some degree we owe nature our stewardship. with all of the resources nature provides us, all of the beauty we're allowed to enjoy, doesn't nature deserve our advocacy in return? It's incredibly complicated in practice, but it is something worth mulling over. Food for thought, if you will. So, Earth Day is coming up here in just 2 days, so you know what that means. This week, you are morally obligated to do my sustainability challenge. I'm just joking, for the record, but it would be great if you did. This week, my request is super simple. I just want you to take one thing that you've learned about the environment or sustainability recently and share it with someone. Since I know all of you fine people listen to every single one of my episodes and pay really close attention, this should be super easy, right? Don't worry, I know it can seem daunting, but I'm not asking you to explain what it means to be an environmentalist or how domestic bee populations harm wild bees in depth. Just tell someone one interesting fact, and if possible, be open to a discussion about it. One of the most important roles we have as environmentalists is education. I personally believe that as someone with an interest in the environment who wants to motivate change, it is my responsibility to teach people who don't share that same interest or motivation about environmental issues and solutions. The more people who know about the things happening to our Earth, the closer we become to solving environmental problems and healing our planet. Maybe having an engaging and intellectual discussion isn't your idea of fun, but I promise you it is so rewarding. So go out there and talk to a friend, family member, or coworker about an environmental fact that interests you and see what happens, because even if you don't feel like you're making a difference, discussions like these are stepping stones for change. We all can make a difference, and I'm excited to see what we can do when we work towards a common goal. As we wrap up today's episode of On Earth, remember that environmental news doesn't have to be stress-inducing or complicated. Looking ahead, I should ideally have 2 more regular episodes after today. Since I only have a few weeks left in the semester, I might have to cut one of those episodes if my workload becomes too much. But the goal is to have another episode on April 27th and one on May 4th. After that, you will get to hear from me one final time for the finale of my show during the 72-hour KRNU marathon, where every one of the more than 50 people in my experience lab class will be airing special episodes of their podcasts and radio shows from May 15th to May 17th. We got to pick our slots for the marathon in class last week, so I can definitively tell all of you now that my special episode will be airing live on the main 90.3 KRNU station on Thursday, May 16th from 1 to 2 p.m. That's right, it'll be a whole hour of my show for you to enjoy. I'll be working really hard over the next few weeks to plan out everything I want to include in the 1 hour special, but for a little sneak peek, I will for sure be including an address to people who don't consider themselves environmentalists or don't care about the environment. So if you want to know why I think you should consider calling yourself an environmentalist, tune in for that. I'm also going to be addressing controversial environmental topics and debunking misconceptions, and I hope that I'll be able to figure out how to do an interactive game of sorts to go along with that, which should be fun. So it'll be a very different episode from my normal content, but it will be well worth your time. As I mentioned before, the special episode will be the finale of my show, so I will not have any more content after May 16th as my class comes to an end. But I am planning on returning to the KRNU Experience Lab next spring and continuing On Earth because I've really enjoyed hosting this radio show. I'm grateful for each and every one of my listeners, and I hope you learned something new today. This is Elise St. Clair signing off with the hope that a collective effort to better understand our environment will pave the way for a sustainable future. Stay informed, stay engaged, and stay tuned for next Saturday's show, right here on KRNU2 at 11 a.m.